Humidity values should be lower, the high at 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
AlphaInsurance.com. Now with head coach Kalen DeBoer, here's Chris Stewart.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us for another edition of the Kalen DeBoer Show live Howard's Victory Grill. Another great crowd here, and we appreciate you joining us. I'm Chris Stewart, of course, with the head coach of the Crimson Tide. The show presented by Alpha Insurance, auto, home, life, business. Alpha Insurance covers it all. AlphaInsurance.com. Coach, good to see you once again. I know it's been a tough week. Talk to us about where things have gone from the final whistle of Saturday's game in Tallahassee to today when you dismissed the team at practice.
Yeah, you bet. Good to see you and good to see all of you. There we go. I knew I had a little something going on there. I couldn't hear myself.
We got you.
The guys, you know, did what I expect. I mean, I expect this team. I mean, they're full of high character guys. Guys that are competitive and they, you know, understand and we all, you know, pissed off about what happened on Saturday.
Sure.
You know, we are. I mean, just flat out, that's what it is. And, you know, starting with me and through our staff and to our team, you know, there's only one thing you can do, and that's learn from it, and you have to respond. And these guys have responded and done it in a great way. And it's one that I would expect it and one I'm proud of.
Not going to spend a ton of time dwelling on it, Coach, but I got a call from Bob Baumhauer himself a couple of days ago, and he said, you know, we played a Florida State that had no history when he was here. I think it was 1974. And he said, Coach Bryant came in on the Friday before the game on Saturday and stood up in front of the team and said, you guys aren't ready to play tomorrow, and I hope we survive it, but you haven't done the work to get yourself ready. In that particular game, Alabama had to score 5 points on a safety and a field goal late to win it 8-7 to, I think, a Florida State team that had lost 16 in a row at that time. Very different program from the one you faced. The point in saying all of that is Coach Bryant knew that particular team wasn't ready. From what I've heard from you and from other members of your staff and players as well, part of what was so surprising about Saturday's game is that you had two great weeks of preparation leading up to that. What is that accurate, and how do you make sure success on the practice field carries over to the games as well?
Yeah, it's always, and I'm a believer, preparation, right? And you know, our guys, you know, pour a lot into it. It's the first game of the year, you know, just trying to understand what you're going to see and all that, but they prepare and give extreme effort. That's been since day one in January. That's been the challenge that I've had for them the entire time. And, you know, we talk about competitive stamina. That's what we talk about, competing over and over and over. And you're competing against yourself first and foremost. And that's what I ask of them. And we got to continue to just hone in on being disciplined every single day to be your best. You know, that's what I challenge them with. The results will take care of themselves. You know, and that's the question everyone's asking is everyone's trying to continue to do things better and better and better, finding ways to have an edge, you know, whether it's schematically. That's been something I think we've always done a great job of as a whole team, as a program. You know, we certainly from, you know, across the board, you know, just got to find ways to be better. And, you know, the jump from week one to week two is always going to be there. It has to be there. I mean, I would expect that. You win by 50, no matter what the outcome is. I'd expect week one to week two to have a lot of improvement. And, you know, that's what I see right now on the field. And we got to finish the week so that way Saturday the preparation will lead to great results.
Had a chance to see a little bit of practice this morning, and I know you'd much rather have them on the field doing the things that will help you win in the game itself. But I saw a lot of your leaders that, Coach, unfortunately aren't able to go right now doing all they could vocally at least anyway, from a leadership standpoint, obviously talking about somebody like Tim Keenan the third.
Yeah.
They take that captain's role, they take that leadership role very seriously, and I know they're doing all they can to help the cause.
Yeah, and for reasons that they can't even control, you know, they feel guilty, you know, just that they couldn't be there to lead, you know, just with Hughes and how recent his injury was, not able to make the trip, but he's pouring everything into it, so that's what you saw.
Sure, absolutely. Coach, what do you and your staff emphasize to the players themselves? I mean, it's easy to say, all right, we got to play better. I know that there's so much more than that. What is the main emphasis?
Yeah, I mean, in our program, and just this is big picture, we talk about toughness, accountability, and a family or brotherhood, right? And this is when you need it more than ever. You know, you got to stick together. You got to have that group and that brotherhood. And, you know, it's doing your job and not letting your brother down, right? And that meaning something. And so that's the challenge there, whether it's practice or games or whatever it might be on off field. And then there's, you know, the toughness piece. And that's where we got to continue to grow. And, you know, there's so much work and there's a lot of areas where we are, you know, a lot of people would crumble doing what these guys do each and every day, you know, around year round. And, you know, these guys, you know, just got to carry it on the football field and they will. They will. I really believe in them. Again, then the accountability piece and just it's just continue to maintain the standard and not letting off the gas at any time. And, you know, they want it. They it shows through their actions. And, you know, I got their back because they certainly, you know, will come through. I feel 100% about that this weekend.
And there you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking at the weekly Hey Coach. I almost called it the head coach. The Hey Coach show Wednesdays over at Baumhauer's. I think like just the first couple minutes of that. Appreciate Chase getting that potted up. We're going to go to that in a little bit, but had some tech issues, man. My whole system kind of crashed. I had to reset everything. So I went ahead and listened to a few of the first questions. I know a lot of people, like I'm reading the comments, some people wanted to hear that. Others are kind of like, they just want to see it on the field, which we will. And we will in about, I don't know, Chase, a little bit over 48 hours or so. Again, it's a night game this time. Not sure why we're playing ULM at night, but it is what it is. But we'll talk a little bit about this matchup again. We already know we need to take care of business, but we'll talk about what we want to see in this game. And there's a couple things that we could expect just for the fun of it. But I do have a, excuse me, got to clear my throat, got to get that frog up out of there. I do have a guest lined up for you guys. I think you guys will enjoy. He's somebody you guys are familiar with. You spend a lot of time watching. Made a lot of good plays during his career, and he's going to give us a little bit more of an offensive perspective on things. That guy is none other than Slade Bolden, Alabama, former Alabama wide receiver. He'll be joining us at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts. I know a lot of people are like, man, we want to move ahead, which we are moving ahead, but we'll get his thoughts, you know, on the first game at least, maybe more so on the receiver position, the offense. Just a brief little summary, then I promise we can move ahead and talk a little bit about some other stuff, but excited to get him on here. Plus, he also announced that he's going to be doing some breakdown stuff. I don't know if it's he's still trying to figure out if it's going to be more of a podcast format, all that. But when we get him on here, I'll let him share that because I know you guys really enjoy that, you know, the breakdown stuff that you guys see that I've been doing, a lot of other people do. And now you're going to get some from Slade, right? And so he'll be able to really focus in on those receivers, which a lot of people are excited about. A lot of people had a lot of questions about, you know, Ryan Williams not having his best performance week one. So we'll get all of those thoughts from Slade when he joins us again at the top of the hour. Maybe we'll make it a weekly thing, start getting him on here more often. Another quick little note that I do want to hit, not great news, right? I'm sure you guys already heard this, but we already have been dealing with some injuries. We already know that. Well, unfortunately, news came out yesterday that another guy had gone down in practice. And unfortunately, literally at the same spot that we already were banged up at, the guy filling in for Tim Keenan, right, Jeremiah Beeman, it was announced that he went down with a lower leg injury, is expected to miss the season. So going into this ULM game, guys, we're really thin at that nose spot. We did see true freshman London Simmons, I think is his last name, step in and get some reps. Actually didn't look too bad for a true freshman, but obviously it's a little worrisome when you don't have anybody other than some, you know, I guess you got Faga as well, right? Two freshmen, one is a redshirt, but still handling those nose duties over the next couple of weeks. We'll see when Tim Keenan makes his way back. But again, I mean, dealing with a high ankle sprain, it's tough to really get back and feel great. I know they said there's a chance you see them maybe Wisconsin. I know they're going week by week, but if I'm being completely honest with you, that just still feels way too early for me to think somebody would be able to come back and have a true impact the way they typically would. But I guess the good news is you got several weeks until you go on the road and face Georgia, and I think that's when you really are going to need a guy like Tim Keenan back. So we'll see how it looks. In the meantime, we'll talk about what you could expect moving forward, because that is something to pay attention to in the next couple weeks. That being said, let's go ahead and hit our first timeout. We come back and really jump into things. I know we had some people that were saying that trying to get in on the phone lines or trying to get some stuff, but I just want to give you guys a heads up, man. We have been rocking and rolling and loaded with callers, messages, all types of stuff, which is a good thing, right? Obviously, we want the traffic. We welcome that. So I say that to say, I promise we're going to do our best to get everybody on here. But if you want to make sure that you can get a chance to hop on the phone lines or whatever the case may be, I urge you, right, and encourage you to try to jump on earlier, right? If you wait till, you know, later in the second hour, if we can't get you on there, I promise we try, we go in order, we try to get everybody, and I try to give everybody, you know, enough time to talk. So if that is a thing for you, just try to call in early, and I promise we'll squeeze you on. If not, we'll do like we did with Smitty, and I promise, first thing, next day, if you call in, man, I'll try to get you on as soon as possible, even before I even say anything of what I need to say, right? So just know, we're trying to work with everything we got. We only got so much time here on the show. There's plenty that we need to talk about, that we want to talk about. I know you guys want to hear us talk about stuff, but also we're trying our best to get everybody as well. But like Yukenji said, man, YouTube's booming. The phone lines are booming. We've got a lot of business over here on the Miller's Edge, which is a good problem to have. We love it and we welcome it. We want even more of it. We're just going to try to do our best to continue to get everybody involved. So just know, I promise we're working our best, but just bear with us, man. We got a lot of traffic here. But anyway, that being said, our first time out, we come back, we really dive into things. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, we are presented by the Good Feet Store. I'll tell you a little bit more about them when we come back.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Your home for those premium art sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. Make sure you guys check them out. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa, right there off of McFarland Boulevard. Walk on in there. Walk-ins are welcome. Or you can always go to their website, schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. Plus, they've got all types of things going on. They've got the Kicking for Cash Challenge, which, again, starts this weekend. If you're at the game, man, make sure you find out how to sign up and get involved in that. Everybody likes free stuff, especially free money, right? Kick for Cash, presented by the Good Feet Store, just like we're presented by the Good Feet Store. Make sure you guys get involved in that, right? Get you a chance. Now, make sure you stretch, warm up, right? Don't be like those guys that go on Pat McAfee's show and blow it, right? If you do get selected for it, man, make sure you are ready to go kick a field goal or whatever the big challenge is, right? Because I want you guys to be able to win some cash. You guys deserve it, man. We got a bunch of great listeners here, so good luck with that. But again, that is presented by the Good Feet Store. Make sure you guys check them out to help out with all that pain you might be dealing with. Again, those premium art sports are game changers. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right, so we heard a little bit from Coach DeBoer. First couple questions from Chris Stewart at Hey Coach. Again, I know a lot of people just trying to figure out, you know, what's going on now? How's practice looking like? You know, how are guys going to respond? And it sounds like he's confident. It sounds like, I mean, I've talked to, you know, some folks and they've said practice has been a lot better this week. They feel confident that the guys are responding the right way. We heard him say that, but I've also heard it from others. So that's good, right? The good news is it sounds like they're responding the right way. I guess the biggest thing is, though, it's got to translate, right? I mean, because, hell, practice was good when I had gone out there over, you know, the course of training camp. Right. But it didn't really translate Saturday. So he also mentioned, you know, the week one and week two jump, just like we heard from Coach Saban. He was talking about that on the broadcast of what was it? I think the Monday game with Bill Belichick getting blown out by TCU. But, you know, all coaches understand week one and week two. Right. Just like we talked about before week one, man, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be knocking the rust off. It's not going to be a finished product week one. Right. So the good news is you know, things can change and they can change drastically for good or for worse, right? In our case, I can only imagine we can go up from here. But there are going to be some teams that look great week one and then it just, you know, goes to crap, right? That being said, we'll see how the guys respond. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm at the point where, Chase, I feel like we've heard so much in the media, and it's not their fault, right? They have no choice. Just like Coach DeBoer had to speak to the SEC teleconference. He had to do, hey, coach, right? I mean, it's not like they're just trying to come out. I know people are like, man, we're sick and tired of hearing stuff. They kind of have to, right? It's kind of an obligation. But I think everybody's just kind of looking forward to 6:45 Saturday to see how it looks. But really, let's just be honest. Only thing we're really going to get from this game is how do they respond from an intangible standpoint in terms of effort, toughness, physicality, all that stuff. Everything else, man, is ULM, right? I would not suggest people go into this game thinking like, all right, oh, we blow ULM out. Yeah, we're back. I would pump the brakes and just let this whole process play out. Wisconsin, maybe a little bit more, but really, man, I would save all your judgment to when we go on the road in Athens, right? That's going to be the true test. So that would just be my advice to you guys. All right. Again, real quick reminder, top of the hour, we will have Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver, joining us here. He's going to join the stream too, by the way. So if you guys want to watch that, check us out at The Miller's Edge on YouTube. He'll be on the stream. Obviously, radio listeners, you guys still get all the content, hear everything. But just heads up, if you would like to watch, you're more than welcome to do that there. Let's do this. Let's start with a couple of chat messages because, again, I know I need to get back to some of these. We've been missing a whole bunch of them. So I know we had a couple of questions on here, so let's go ahead and do a couple before we hit our next timeout, Chase. Let's see. I know there was one about the defensive line I wanted to touch back on. Oh, Jam was saying there was, he had some concerns with the defensive line. So let's start there, right? Jeremiah Beeman, we all know the news by now, right? He goes down with lower leg injury. Coach DeBoer talked about it, pretty much said, look, you know, we're practicing, you know, physical. We're trying to get after it. What did I tell you guys, right? Injuries always happen when guys are on the ground. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it's almost inevitable when you got guys, especially in the trenches, right? They're getting after it. Guys are falling, getting twisted up. These things can happen. Even when you have a thud tempo. So I just want to be clear. If people are like, oh, first of all, let's go back. People wanted guys to be tackling more so they could be better tacklers in the game. And then they're worried about injuries. But just know these can happen up front, even if you have a thud tempo. Right? Because guys just naturally, like when you're really trying to, you know, come off the football, you guys know, you see linemen fall all over the place, man. Bigger guys are a little clumsy, it happens, right? But sometimes the ball just doesn't fall your way, and I hate it because I know, you know, Beeman's been working a while to get this opportunity. You know, obviously we all hate that Tim was down, but this was, you know, his time to really step up and be that guy, and then this happens. You know, it kind of reminds me of how it was for me. You know, I waited, you know, to my junior year. I mean, I've been grinding, waiting my turn, patiently developing. Then I earned the starting job to go play Florida State. Matter of fact, we opened up the game or opened up the season with Florida State in Atlanta. And then I tear my biceps in that game. And then I was, you know, labeled out for the season. Now, luckily, thanks to the tremendous support and help from, you know, the athletic training staff, you know, Jeff, Jeremy, Ginger, everybody, the whole crew, I was able to come back, but I feel for Beeman because I was literally in the same spot, waiting your turn, getting an opportunity, and then you go down with the injury. So my advice to him would be stay the course, attack the rehab process. If there is a chance, man, chase that. Even if it's 1% that you can come back, just chase that and just know you can always still be of service, whether it's your support in the meeting rooms, but always keep that the right mentality because I'm telling you, man, the rehab process, I think a lot of it is affected by your mentality. It's really important, so definitely would offer him that advice, man. Just stay the course. I know it sucks. Being hurt is one of the worst things, especially when it comes at a time like this. But you know, he's going to be all right. He's going to be a great player, man. I think he'll bounce back. But in terms of where do we go from here, right? Because I know a lot of people are curious about this, right? You got Simmons, who was the true freshman that stepped up in week one, right? Filling in. We talked about that. Who's going to be behind, you know, Beeman? Well, they used a couple guys, Faga, and we saw Simmons as well. And they didn't look. They didn't look too bad. I mean, I think the biggest thing is this is a good opportunity. I was talking with our stream during the break for those guys to get some experience because again, we talk about it. Going to Georgia is where things really get kicked off, right? Not. I know we always talk about being where our feet are, and that is important, right? We definitely still practice those principles, but in terms of really having to show up and have our guys, you know, 110%. You know, there's that first SEC road game heading to Athens, and I think at least what you have now is you have a ULM game where you got these two, the two freshmen that are going to be filling in for Beeman and Tim now. They're going to be getting some really valuable experience in this game. Next week when you face Wisconsin, then you have a bye week, kind of go back to the drawing board, reassess, take an evaluation, look at, you know, look in the mirror. It's what you always do during bye weeks, right? During a bye week, you always go back and you look at what you've done so far, right? It's like a big self-assess moment. Then you can really attack the things that you need to address. And I think that's what they'll do. And I think coming back for Georgia, hopefully Tim will be back, you know. And look, I don't think he'll be 100% even by Georgia, right? Just even with the surgery, you just those things can really linger. Like my dad was talking about, I had a high ankle sprain. I didn't have the surgery, but they definitely can linger. At least he will be back or should be back by Georgia. And then I think those young guys will be further along than obviously where they were going into week one. And I think you feel a little bit better about that. The other thing I think that is possible in terms of this whole situation with Jeremiah Beeman being out is I think you maybe take a look at, because if you look at Beeman and Tim, the issue is they both are like true noses, right? So I know you've got, you know, people label nose or tackle, right? Depending on really, you know, personnel, what you're facing, like you're going to have different guys in there, right? Well, you look at the depth chart, really nose, it was, you know, Tim, Beeman, and then you had the young guys, right? Really Simmons. You look at guys like Edric Hill, right? He's more so, you know, in that James Smith tackle category. You get what I'm saying? So you have more, I guess, tackles. But I think what you could do is maybe move some guys around, some of those guys that typically are more in that tackle spot at the nose spot, and try to get them a little bit more comfortable over the next couple of weeks. That is something also I think you end up seeing, because I don't think you want to just completely rely on, all right, these two true freshmen have been working at nose. We're only going to rock with those guys. I think they end up trying to see if you can slide a couple of those guys from that defensive tackle spot into more of the role that Tim and Beeman were playing, to see if they can kind of help provide some depth and kind of, you know, spread it out a little bit. Because you do have a number of players, too, that are tweeners, right, that are, you know, 275 pounds, right? Maybe you slide a guy like James Smith over more into that true nose, since he's 300-plus. He's just athletic, right? And then you slide a guy like, I don't know. I mean, I personally wouldn't do this. From what I've seen out of Kelby Collins, I don't think I would do that. But you get what I'm saying? One of those guys that's a little bit kind of a tweener at the bandit spot, maybe – if you do have a chance. But the problem is when you're facing a team like Georgia, man, you really want more strength in the trenches like that. So you just got to figure out, man, who's going to step up. You know, they might not be a typical nose, but sometimes, man, you got to do what you got to do. It's kind of like, you know, that year when I was talking about my bicep, you know, we it wasn't just me. We had like four linebackers go down. We had to get innovative, right? And I know Jamie Mosley stepped up at that spot, but obviously, you know, him and then Anthony came back a little bit. We didn't have too much depth there, and it was hard to really generate, you know, pass rush when you're so limited. So you got to get creative sometimes. And we ended up bringing a lot of, you know, safety pressure, right? Sometimes you got to, you know, work around what you got. And I think that's potentially kind of what you see, at least from a personnel standpoint. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's personally kind of how I feel like they go about this. Get the young guys as much experience as possible. Maybe move a guy. Like personally, if I moved anybody over, I'd probably have James Smith play a little bit more of what those guys are playing. And then, you know, fill in the guys from behind him more at that tackle spot. I think that makes the most sense if you are going to move guys around, personally. You also could kind of change, I guess, schematically what you do. That way you lean into more things where you might have more. Because, again, they have packages where they take a nose out and they put in another tackle. The problem is you're a little bit exposed when you're talking about those early downs. You know, people are really trying to hammer the football. That's what I'm saying. You got to. Now is the time to work that, right? Work it in ULM, work it in practice, work it at Wisconsin, obviously during the bye week, see what you got. And I think they'll end up all right. But the good news is by the time you get to Georgia, Tim should be back and you will at least have that big piece and other guys have experience. I really think just the working around things might just happen for the next week, maybe two, while Tim's still out. Then once he comes back, you kind of get back into what your regular personnel would be. That's personally how I see it playing out. Because I don't think you're really too concerned. If you have to play guys a little bit out of position against ULM, shouldn't be a problem, right? Wisconsin, I think you still should be all right. And we'll see where everybody's at. The good news is also about injured guys is I think they have Jam is listed as potentially returning against Wisconsin. So obviously he's coming well along with his rehab, which is good. Which is really good. So that being said, let's go ahead and hit a timeout. Chase, when we come back, I know we got Ram on the phone lines. We'll go ahead and jump to him. That way we can get ahead on things. If you guys got any more questions, man, drop them in the chat. I promise we'll keep going to them and reading them live on air. Plus, you got some pictures to get to. Slade had a meeting pop-up, so I might have to move him around a little bit, so I'll keep you guys updated when he can hop on as well. So all that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Art Sport Expert. Quick time out. We'll be right back.
.365 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We were answering a question real quick. I just want to cap it off. But for our radio listeners, the question was, when you don't have some of those dominant defensive linemen or those, you know, big-time playmakers at the position, how can they be used to make the defense successful? And he was asking about occupying blocks and trying to free up backers. And I was saying, really, at the end of the day, you know, you operate your system, right? So if your system is, you know, you want the two gap and, you know, have those bigger linemen eat up blocks and let your linebackers play free, that's your system. You just got to try to work with it, right? Work with your personnel. And then you also got more penetrating style defenses where, you know, they're running stunts. It's really trying to be aggressive, get upfield and try to force tackles for loss. But I was explaining, you know, there's pros and cons to everything, right? You know, the pros of that type of defenses is, you know, if you are, you know, successful and you are chopping it up and getting back there, right, then, yeah, you can force tackles for loss, and it can be disruptive. But the downside is if you don't, it's kind of like blitzing and then not having success. Not having success on a blitz, you kind of make yourself vulnerable, right, for bigger plays. Meaning, like, if all the defensive linemen just envision this in y'all's heads. I mean, if everybody's running upfield, right, it allows those linemen to easily climb to the backers. And if those defensive linemen don't make a play back there, right, or at least slow them down enough for the support to come, now you got the like those offensive linemen on your second level players. And if that back finds a crease or a window, I mean, then he's really got a much better chance of really breaking it for much more versus doing a system where you're, you know, two gap and clogging things up, letting backers play free, right? Maybe you don't have as many tackles for losses naturally, right? Unless your defensive lineman really just blows somebody up like that. But at least your backers are able to really try to go minimize the, I guess, like the gains. If that, does that make sense? But to put a bow on that answer for you, QD, really, man, I mean, look, you just got to find ways to be effective. So if you don't have guys that are doing which they, I guess if you don't have the right personnel for what you want to do in your scheme, you do have to find ways to adjust your scheme. That's what any good coach would do to answer your question. So if you're saying like, man, I'm looking at this defensive line, you know, I just don't feel like we have these dogs that are really dominant, this or that, or can really, you know, play on the other side, maybe you do have to lean more into kind of penetrating. Just because maybe you're saying we don't have that, those big strong guys that can really do what we need them to do there, or vice versa. You know what I mean? So I think good coaches just find ways to put their guys in position to be successful. I know somebody has mentioned that Siski was breaking down the defense, and that, where was that at? He said something about Siski broke it down where guys were in position, but there was just no effort. And then that's what I've been trying to explain, that looking at this game, It wasn't really so much a matter of scheme. You didn't see like, oh man, like schematically we're just getting totally outdone. Like, yeah, there are some times where they definitely got the better of us, or some things that you guys saw me point out, like the mugging on first and second down. Schematically, I'm not a fan of that, right? However, that's not why we got beat. And I talked about this last couple of days, right? I mean, it's just like the most glaring thing was we just played with poor effort. We were absorbing blows. We weren't physical. We were waiting on everybody else to make plays. Nobody hardly run into the football. I mean, that boils it down. But I still don't completely agree with Siski's take on that means that everything is on the players. I disagree with that because I feel like you still, while I do agree some of, you know, they deserve some of it, a lot of it, whatever the case may be, I would not, like, him and AJ were kind of painting as if, like, the coaches don't get any of that accountability. I disagree with that because they're the leaders, right? In my opinion is if your players feel that they can get away with that, that's a leadership and a culture problem. So they do deserve some of that. They might not be able to run out there with them, but I'm sure you guys, I've seen clips circulating of Coach Saban chewing us out on the sidelines and all that, like, you can't let guys get away with that. And that, to me, does fall on the coaches. So while I agree with some of what Siski and AJ were saying, I have to give some pushback. And I think the coaches, you know, as a coach, I mean, your job is to you know, lead those guys. And if you're letting them get away with that, they're not scared of the repercussions of playing like that, right? Not making mistakes. But I'm talking about just from an effort standpoint, that's on the coaches, man. You got to find a way, whether it's benching guys, disciplining them, whatever really gets to them, you got to find a way. Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. That way we can jump on that, and that way we don't have anybody getting left over. 205-342-9904. We got Ram up first. Ram, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. You doing good?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great, man. How are you, Ram?
I'm doing good. Let me ask you a question real quick. Are you going to be – where will you be at the Wisconsin game? Where will the guys be? I want to meet some of those guys that sit at that table.
You mean like during the game, or who are you referring to?
No, for post pregame.
You mean like on a Saturday, or are you talking?
Yeah,
about
yeah. On the Saturday, I thought you were going to be at one of the restaurants.
Oh, so yeah, we do that on Fridays, and I'll be honest, we're still trying to get everything all worked out. So I'll keep you updated. But that would be on a Friday, Ram. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Saturday. Okay. I was like, Saturday normally I'm in the press box. Or down on the floor.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you've answered pretty much everything I was going to ask you, but here's one thing. I know you have to kind of scale performance if it's great because of the opponent, we hope. But if you were going to put a pair of binoculars on a specific group, I'm going to be watching the interior on defense and the running backs. But who would you hone in on?
In this upcoming game?
Yeah.
I last people I'd probably be paying attention would be the running backs. I think the bigger issue is the guys up front. I mean, I would be watching the offensive line, how they perform, because I think offensively that was an issue in this last game. From a receiver standpoint, I mean, outside of Jeremy Bernard, I mean, I don't think those guys really provided much. If anything, I thought the running backs were okay. I mean, Kevin Riley stepped up. I mean, Richard Young looked fine when he was in there. I mean, the running backs, they're not really my concern. Defensively, I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of heat has been going to the D-line, which, I mean, again, they weren't great. But I think the bigger issue, honestly, the linebacker play from week one was really bad. So if I had to pick one group defensively, I want to see the linebackers play better, man. I was really disappointed by our linebacker play in week one. Again, defense line, definitely guys could be better, but, I mean, you're banged up. You're working with some young guys in there. What's the excuse for the linebackers? I mean, you got – Deontay Lawson, who's a redshirt senior, I get he's coming off injury, so I definitely understand that aspect. But, I mean, like Justin Jefferson, I mean, even 41, like, I'll be honest with you, I was not impressed by the linebacker playing week one. So if I had to pick one group on defense, it's probably going to be the linebackers.
Okay. Well, I'll follow your lead. I'll be at the game. I'm taking my grandson's never been anywhere hardly, you know. Taking this game. The other question, when y'all prepared for a lesser opponent, was the practices always basically the same, whether you were playing Louisiana Monroe or Georgia?
You know what's funny? They weren't the same. And you're probably going to be shocked by this answer. No, they weren't the same. You're probably going to be shocked by this answer. Practices were harder when we played inferior opponents. You know why? Because Coach Saban, he knew that there was a chance that complacency could creep in. Guys could just go through the motions, just expecting, all right, you know, we're just going to walk through this game. And it's always funny. Those weeks, he always used to be on our tail, right? Because that was the last thing he wanted to deal with. So, yeah, those weeks, actually, man, we definitely were getting yelled at a little bit more. And it's not like we were doing anything wrong. It's just he wanted to take the step ahead and say, I'm not going to allow that to even creep in. And so he made sure that he ramped it up on those weeks. So,
well, you know, that's good. That's good coaching. Golly, I think that's great. Like Coach Sala said, you lose one of those games, and then you see how popular you are. But that's pretty informative. And I hope we don't have any trouble. I think Ty is okay. And
Ty will be fine. Honestly, I mean, there's no doubt. If you go back and watch the tape, number one, just from what I've seen from him in general, but two, if you go back and watch that game, I mean, it wasn't on time. I know McElroy and AJ had already said that, but even me and my dad sat on here. Ty was not the issue. He definitely could have played better, could have made better decisions, but again, for a guy getting his first start on the road in Tallahassee, he wasn't the issue. He'll be just fine. He's only going to get better. He's got the right hit on his shoulders. I'm not, like I said, I'm not worried about Ty. I think the running back room will be fine. Jam should be back soon. The guys, to me, again, I thought they looked pretty decent, you know, in week one. The offensive line, they need to be better, right? And they need to be consistent.
Yeah.
If they play like the way they played in that first drive, a little bit of the second drive for four quarters, we'll be okay, right? If we get Ryan Williams to kind of step up and play how we know he can play, right? We'll be okay. We know you got a dog in Bernard. I think Horton will be fine. I think some of those young guys, right? Rico Scott, he'll step up, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, offensively, I mean, there's just a few things that we can really just kind of tidy up, and I think we'll be okay. Defensively, there's a few more things we need to tidy up, and they've got to come to, you know, they need to have that come to Jesus moment, right, as a defense. But Yeah, Ram, I think we'll be all right. You just got to take it 1 week at a time. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, I just got to remind people, week one is week one. Just like my dad said, ironically, you know, whether it's good or bad, just you got to remember it was week one. A lot of things can change, and we just got to be patient and kind of see how it all plays out.
I agree 100%, and I on Ty, I was proud of him, to tell you the truth. I really was. He's faster than I remembered. But I'm going to let you go. Enjoy talking to you. I'm at the park walking. That's why I sound choppy. But
No, you're good, man. I love it, man. You're getting your steps in and talking football, man. That's therapeutic. Good for you, man. Well, I appreciate you calling. All right. We'll talk soon, brother.
Okay, Christian, you and Chase, don't let the dogs out.
Yes, sir, that's right. Take care, buddy. Good deal. All right, we got time for a question or so while we're in here before we hit the top of the hour break. Michael says, why don't we see defensive linemen using their hands more, seeing them running more stunts? In terms of hand usage, man, I mean, you got to use your hands as a defensive lineman, right? I mean, you got to have, and not just use them, but you got to use them violently. And I do want to see more of that, right? I mean, really, man, look, in playing D-line, you just got to get down and nasty, man. You got to go out there and want to choke somebody out. And you got to put hands on them. And you got to read, right? You got to violently, you know, control that guy. I think sometimes I see some of our guys, it looks like they're kind of peeking, right? Guys are just peeking, trying to find the ball. And look, I've always been coached, man, like, you take care of your job, you take care of your assignment first, then you react, right? So, like, if I'm a C-gap player, like, and my key is that tackle, I'm focused, my eyes, everything, I'm locked in on that tackle, he's going to tell me pretty much everything I need to know. Then, once I take care of business, then I can go try to make a play. You get what I'm saying? But I think, again, and look, it's week one, we'll see. But you're right, I think hand usage definitely could be better, and especially in our pass rush. I'll be honest, man, I don't feel like we work a whole bunch. Not just D-line, I'm thinking like across the board, even like our edge guys. I want to see us work moves. Like, I'm tired of just seeing us run down the middle of guys. Right? Like you're not going to have to, like, yes, there's some guys that are just true power guys and that's their thing. But even when you're a power guy, like, they get to it a number of different ways. Like Will Anderson loved power, right? But see, like, he could do that because that was his thing, right? He went speed to power. He knew how to set it up. He used great leverage. He was very physical. And so, like, he can do that. But, like, you don't have a whole bunch of just Will Andersons that have that natural knack to do that. So a lot of these other guys are just kind of wasting themselves running down the middle. Right. And I'm not a fan of that. I would love to see more hand usage, more violent hands across the board. Like, that would be my challenge to this group, because I think that would just help them make so many more plays. And I get, like, collapsing a pocket and trying to be disciplined. But I always tell people, man, you can do both. Right. You can be an edge threat coming off. Right. With great bend. But you just have that sense. Right. That if you feel like you're getting by the quarterback, be ready to counter back. That way, you're still at least threatening the guy with speed. And then if you need a counterback, you can, like, I'm telling you, like, somebody, I forgot who was it, told me this, but so many sacks come from that. People think you get all these sacks from just, like, beating a guy clean. But the reality is that the higher you get in terms of the level you're playing at, the harder it gets just to beat guys clean. A lot of it comes from second efforts, countering at the level. And you'd be surprised how many plays you can make. But when you run down the middle of a guy, you just don't give yourself a chance. Because especially when you're already behind the eight ball, at least speaking from, like, an edge perspective, those guys outweigh you, right? You have to set up that power. You can't just rush. We always said rush half a man. When you run down the middle of a guy like Caden Proctor, who's 360 pounds, what is he going to do? He's going to put his hands on you and you're done. Where do you always see him getting beat? Go back and watch the tape. Speed off the edge, countering. They're not, those guys aren't meant to move like that. They struggle, right? And I just don't feel like our guys are doing enough of that stuff. That's got to be better. We got to have somebody, man. Like, be aggressive. Go make a play. Stop just running down the middle of guys. All right, we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling. I think the phone lines are open. So if you guys want to hop on your 205-342-9904, you will be first up. And we'll keep on rolling right here. Again, I'm still coordinated with Slade. I know he's got this meeting that just came up, but hopefully we can get him on here before. I know he said closer to 1, so maybe might be closer around like 12:45, but I'll keep you guys updated on Slade hopping on here. But first, top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
We'll be right back. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, Bolaños.
The wait is over. Week one of the NFL is here as the defending champion Eagles will be hosting the Cowboys with kickoff at 8:20 Eastern on Thursday. Chargers running back Najee Harris is expected to start in Friday's season opener against the Chiefs. And the 49ers and wide receiver Juwan Jennings have reached an agreement on a deal that will add $3 million in playtime incentives so he can earn up to $10.5 million this season. In baseball, the Giants defeated the Rockies 10-8. Astros edged the Yankees 8-7. Brewers defeated the Phillies 6-3, while the Angels topped the Royals 4-3. Rays beat the Mariners at home 9-4, and the Blue Jays took down the Reds 13-9, while the Pirates shut out the Dodgers 3-0. In tennis,
doors open at 7 and the bell rings at 8 at Two Dimes on the Strip on Thursday, September 11th. Grab your tickets now on Eventbrite by searching New Era Wrestling. Use promo code radio for 20% off.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm afternoon, partly sunny, a few isolated showers around through the evening hours. The high today 89, the low tonight 70. Tomorrow a sunny day with a hot afternoon, but the humidity values should be lower. The high at 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down. It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so week, guys, I'm all over the place. Well, it's week two. Hour number one in the book. Sorry, I'm trying to do a million things. I'm trying to get Slade this link because I think he's going to try to hop on here as soon as he finishes. So probably closer to like 1230, 1240-ish when we're joined by former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden, which is perfect. That'll be great. So let me, I'll do this when we get to another timeout, but I'm going to send him the link. That way he can hop on. So he'll be on the stream with us. That way you guys can see him here again. Our radio listeners, you guys obviously still get all the interviews, every content. Don't change what you guys are doing on radio. Like, we always encourage, you know, use that app, download the Tide 100.9 app. Again, we are a radio show first and foremost. The YouTube stream / Facebook stream, just an added element, since I know a lot of people are saying we like the video, we want to see the clips and all that. So that's what that's for. And Slay will be joining us here in a little bit. So stay tuned for that. All right. Let's keep rocking on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got a bunch of good questions. We'll keep hitting those as well. But first, let's go to Smitty. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, Christian?
Oh, man, I'm making it, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Man, here's one thing that I've noticed, right? A lot of people keep talking about, well, the Saban standard. Not you, per se. That's why a lot of fans who mad. The Saban standard was, correct me if I'm wrong, you play for the 24-hour rule. Win or lose, right? You move on to the next opponent, right?
True.
Are they still talking about last week's game? It's Thursday. You know?
I'm not going to lie, too. The only response I have to that is when we play as bad as we played, brother, I ain't going to lie. There are going to be people talking about that for a minute, man. Granted, then look,
yeah,
I'm with you, but at the same time, in the sports media world, you talk about what's popular, and let's just call a spade a spade. Do you think people want to hear about ULM and who they got coming to Tuscaloosa to face, or do you think they want to talk about our issues that we can continue to work on? That I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just telling you that's kind of the perspective that I have on it.
Yeah, and I think what happens is these content creators out there, they use the stereotype of Bama fans being fat, crap, crazy. And want everybody fired if something ain't right to get clicks and viewers, stuff like that. You guys talk ball. You ain't giving hot takes and stuff. And but I think that's something there, because the players moved on, obviously. The coaches moved on. But I always said we learned some things. We've learned that Jeremy should be the leader and the spokesperson of the team. Just be real here.
They had him on head coach last night, so I think they agree with you, because they felt comfortable putting him on that stage. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I would have put anybody else other than him up there.
Yeah, and follow his lead and everything. And I think that's something right there. And I think what people got to get is, hey, they talk about this most talented team, yes, by star ratings. But when I watched him on the field the past couple of years, I'm going back to Saban, I don't see them being the most talented team, because we haven't had many offensive linemen drafted. That's a talent issue, a development issue, talent issue. We haven't had the dominant defensive tackle. We had Will Anderson and Dallas Turner on the edge, but we know that tackle will really wreck shop. Mm-hmm. And let's just – in the receivers – after Jamison, who was a transfer, who was the top flight receiver that people feared? We didn't have the superstar running back either, since Najee Harris and Jahmyr Gibbs. He was a transfer. I just think that, I'm just going to be honest with you. I think what they saying ain't telling the media, we got to do a talent reset. We got to tear some of this down, because the starting linebackers are slow. You said that. And that's the thing. It doesn't matter if your defensive tackles, your defensive lines do their job taking up blocks, if your linebackers are slow as your molasses. they ain't doing their job, or you tiptoeing. I think that's something there, because I think we got some young guys. By the way, what have you heard, seen from the younger middle linebackers, the younger linebackers who may not be ready yet? But what are your thoughts on some of those guys?
I think you got some potential there. I know QB Reese. I mean, I'll be honest, even I always forget his name. I think he's rocking 15, but he's got dreads. His name's slipping my mind, but
have you seen him?
Say it again.
Daryl Jackson, or I forgot what the other kid's name was, but yeah, I know you're talking about.
It's literally slipping my mind, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've seen them make some plays. Now, again, I mean, they've really just got the bulk of their work with, like, the twos at the highest. I haven't seen many of those guys really work in. Yeah, Duke. There you go. Thank you, QD. Duke. Is it Duke Johnson? Yeah.
Duke Johnson, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him make some plays, but again, I mean, it's, you know, respectfully against no twos, threes, whatnot. The good news is you should see them this week, right? They should get some opportunities. I wouldn't be mad, though. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Kitty. The problem with linebacker, though, is it takes so much more than just, like, going out and make plays. And Ruben could attest to this. I mean, we could ask Ruben next time he hops on here. Like you, that guy's your signal caller. So linebacker is one of those spots where it takes a little bit more to try to get younger guys on the field because they really have to have a true understanding of the defense and what's going on. So some of these really young guys that are just getting here, while they're still learning everything, it wouldn't be very smart to put them out there because if they don't have it all together, there's going to be a lot of dysfunction with everybody else because there's going to be poor communication and stuff like that. So that's the only issue. Unless you're talking about more of like the Will spot and that young guy's out there with the vet, then that could work. But the good news, you'll get to see them at least in action hopefully this weekend, and we'll have a little bit better idea how they look in the game setting. Yeah, we hope, right?
Yes. Yeah, because the thing is, right, and what we noticed, because you kind of see it, like with some of the injuries, and I think this is where the transfer portal's taking effect, is that you don't have that middle. You got veterans, babies, but you don't have that middle guy who's been around a little bit. And I think that reared its ugly head for Alabama recently with, like, Jay Smith being out. You come up with a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. That true freshman still needs development for real. But he had to be thrust in there because you didn't even have a sophomore or junior to back him up who's been around. And also the weight room, how that is, because a lot of these guys, Kurt Monroe, redshirt, because these guys get in the gym,
That was a prime example of that, boy. I looked like a wide receiver when I got here.
That's what I'm saying. And so you don't have that middle guy. And I think that's a less, because with this whole transfer portal, the way the NIL is now, I don't think NIL is an issue. You know, I always think it's just the eligibility when you transfer multiple times, is that maybe you have to pay more to keep that too deep. Because you can get an injury in practice. I remember a Michigan kid towards Achilles doing a drill at his pro day. So injuries can happen anytime. And I think that may be something right there. But I still think they're still trying to recover those numbers from that mass exodus because they retired. And I think if they just stay the course and everything, that may get built up. And my last thing is, I know a lot of people saying the coach doesn't fit. You know what's a good fit, Christian? Winning games. That's a fit. Just be real. And I think what everybody's trying to talk about is buyout stuff and all that. My first thing is you got to get players. You use the money to get the players. Use the money to hire the best DC and D-line coach that you can find, like LSU and Ohio State did. Because in recruiting, remember now, they're still recruiting up there with everyone else, top five, top 10 recruiting classes. And they don't have as many commits as the ones ahead of them. If you start letting the head coach go every other year and stuff, one, you have a hard time filling that job. You'd be like the Dallas Cowboys with Schottenheimer. No one knows who that guy is because you don't want to take the job. But you also got to remember, the coach has to want to take the job because if you want to let somebody go in 2 years and they're already making good money where they're at, why would they take that risk? And I think people have to be careful about that type of stuff. And just sometimes you may have to just see the course. And because if the recruiting falls off, that's what I get worried about a coach. That's just my opinion on that. But, hey, you have a good one, Chris. I just wanted to chime in real quick.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I always appreciate you doing that, man. Great stuff, man. Yeah, and in terms of the fit thing, man, it's tough because I see both ends of it. Number one, I think it's pretty evident that Greg Byrne, whoever, right, administration is involved in the hiring process, they were well aware that Coach DeBoer is a totally different style of coach than Nick Saban. I think that's, probably something that they had an idea of before they hired him. And Smitty just said, I mean, winning was probably the most important thing to them. That and establishing a good culture. It's just, to me, I think fit also is something to consider, though. And the reason I say that is, as much as my dad jokes about it and talks about, for example, the cornbread, mashed potatoes and ham hogs, all like being funny, talking about, Southern players, this and that. I mean, to be fair, I mean, the culture here at Alabama, like all jokes aside, it is different. And when you are working with the number of guys, man, like that have this, it's hard, this presence, it's hard to explain. I mean, if you're like in the locker room and you know, I do feel like that is something to consider. Now, I'm not saying that mean, you know, Coach Womack style can't work, not Womack, excuse me, Coach DeBoer style can't work, but I do think, you know, it does have to mesh correctly, if that makes sense. There's going to be some guys, they need that type of coaching, right? If not, it's almost like having a horse that just won't quit bucking and whatever the case may be. You got to get it under control, right? Like, you need, and that's why I think if you do have a coach more like Coach DeBoer, you have to find somebody, right? Whether it's, you know, coordinators, strengths, that you got to make sure there's balance and you do have those people on staff. Because I'm just telling you from firsthand experience, man, even like with some
do
of
you
my
have teammates, cracks or potholes,
if we didn't have that type of structure and that type of level of discipline and people getting on you like that, oh, Lord have mercy. There's no telling where half these dudes would have been at or ended up at. You know what I mean? But like somebody is saying, like, you need, it's like, it's a joke, but it's not a joke. You definitely need some of those types of guys, man. Those dudes that you get nervous at night, not knowing what the hell they're getting into. But I'm just saying, like, I know it's always fun and games we talk about it, but it's true, man. Those guys are typically your dogs on the team, man. I don't know how many of those we have right now. And I think that all kind of correlates back to the culture and, you know, what you have in your, in your locker room. I'm not saying you can't win like taking the approach of more of like the laid back style. I think, look, winning comes in a lot of different ways. But I know here with a lot of the players that we do have here, they're going to need a little bit more. And that's why it's good to have somebody at least on staff that can do that. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. 205-342-9904 is the number. I think Slade's going to be able to jump on with us if he can finish up things in probably next 20 or so minutes. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Let's do this Monday. ZzzQuil Ultra. Not for colds, just for sleep. Really great sleep. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation.
Across the United States.
And from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers.
Trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers.
Who are resilient.
And won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches.
Athletic trainers and mentors.
Who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm afternoon, partly sunny, a few isolated showers around through the evening hours. The high today 89, the low tonight 70. Tomorrow a sunny day with a hot afternoon, but the humidity values should be lower. The high at 94. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Again, we will have former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden joining us unless something else comes up, but I think he should be able to hop on here in probably the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. We've been talking with you guys in the chat. We've been going to the phone lines to talk with Smitty, been answering some questions. Let's see if we got some more chat messages. I was going to go back to this head coach interview. I know Jeremy Bernard joined him, and we heard a few questions from the beginning, but want to dive back into that in a little bit. Phil asks, who's on staff that can lay the hammer? Is there anyone? I mean, I'll say this. I mean, Coach Womack, I mean, he gets on those guys. Ryan Grubb's a tough coach. I mean, like, there's guys on staff that do get after him. And then even some of the guys, you know, like Ha-Ha's out there all the time. Now, I'm not saying he's out there, like, hammering them. But in terms of having someone who understands kind of how things, you know, have been done and you know, that brought success. I mean, the Denzel Duvall's, Josh Chapman. I mean, you have Jamie Mosley, right? I mean, you have guys out there, right? Again, the biggest thing is, I keep saying this, but it's the truest thing. They have to find a way to have it translate to the field. In the games, really, I should say. I mean, I know somebody brought it up earlier. I mean, I think this is the number, Chase, like 5-5 in the last 10 games. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's correct. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not a talent thing, right? Like, we can, like, let's just go off, like, the, like, let's just process of elimination. It's not talent. We've got all this talent. We signed even more talent, one of the top recruiting classes. I mean, everybody, again, I don't follow these pages too much, but PFF in the offseason, I mean, they had majority of Alabama's position groups listed as some of the top groups in the country. So it's not that. And I think the most obvious thing when you watch not just week one, but even going back is, you know, playing hesitant, as Coach Womack said, timid, lack of physicality, lack of effort, no life, no enthusiasm. To me, like, those are the most obvious things. It's not a scheme thing, guys. It's really not, man. Again, some things could be better, but that's not the issue. So how do they find a way to get that translated? I'll be honest with you. I don't really know the answer to it, because I just know what worked for us. But this is a new guy, and like Smitty said, I don't want to seem like we're trying to compare everything he does. I just know what worked for us was it started from the head coach, right? Who literally, like the head coach literally, like, instilled all the authority, right? Not even just in football, but around the whole university. Like, I don't like, Coach Saban had a hand in pretty much everything. I mean, so it started with him and his leadership. Obviously, that worked down to the coordinators, because I'm telling you right now, if we were screwing up on defense, you know who he was chewing out first? Well, obviously, he would come chew us out after a bad play. But you know immediately who he's chewing out? The coordinator, right? Defensive coordinator got ripped left and right 24/7. So what do you think they would do to us? They come chew us out because they're getting chewed out. I mean, it's an order. I mean, it just came, ran down the list, Chase. I mean, it made sense, right? And then, you know, we always talk about the player accountability. It's like Ruben talked about. It's like all these other guys have talked about, like, I mean, I could sit there and say, like, yeah, those things will help establish that. But again, I mean, like, he has his own process. And it's interesting because I know for a fact, since the day Coach DeBoer got here, he's always preached, you know, togetherness, brotherhood, and creating that unity in the locker room. So you would think that naturally they would develop that kind of, you know, self-accountability in the locker room. But I just don't think that's really there. Actually, I know it's not there, because if it was, no way guys would be getting away with just lack of effort and just doing things how we've seen them do. Now, I will say this, and I've been thinking about this, is this goes back before Coach DeBoer, and you guys might agree with me, but I think this also plays a role, because I said this back all the way back to, like, what, 2022 maybe. I truly believe that we had so much success at Alabama that we got to a point where slowly, but really, every year, and it was a very slow process, but it kept happening more and more, guys would show up and just expect. Now, I know you're like, what does that mean? They would just expect, like, okay, I'm here at Alabama. We expect we're going to win a national championship. I'm here at Alabama. I expect to go out there and just be this superstar. I expect to go out there and just be this first-round draft pick. But the problem was, that's not how it worked. And I know. You saw that creeping in even when Coach Saban was still here. Like, just go back and look at 2022. Like, we had really good players, but that type of mindset was creeping in. Like, I can't tell you how many guys I saw that would just, like, show up on campus and just feel like they already arrived and not understand really what went into being a great football team or being a great player, right? So I think that's already been a thing, and I think it's only gotten worse over the years. And I, like that, to me, I feel like that's what I'm seeing when I watch, like, guys waiting for other guys to make tackle. They just expect. It's almost, and I feel like that's really what we've seen the last 2 years, right? Guys just going, playing a game, showing up as if they just expect we're just going to win, right? Like, oh, we got these guys. Oh, we're this, that. I was this coming out of high school. I just expect. But they don't understand. These other guys, these other teams, they've been working with Alabama in their mind all these years, wanting to get to this point, right? That's why you see them have these reactions when they play us. All these guys sat there, and all they've heard about is Alabama. A lot of them probably wanted to come to Alabama but couldn't come to Alabama. So they've had this chip on their shoulder. And I think, meanwhile, a lot of guys that end up coming here, they just assume, like, oh, I'm at Bama. Like, I've arrived. It's just going to come. I just expect the success and all the results to come, but it doesn't work like that, man. And again, I think that's been plaguing us even before Coach DeBoer got here, just being completely transparent. Arthur said, Christian, could this really be year one for Coach DeBoer? He overachieved last year with the way winning timing. We lost Saban and the effects of NIL and transfer causing a parity. No, I don't think this is a year one. I mean, if you listen to him, he said he can address the team differently this year than he could in the past, or at least in last year. So, no, I don't think this is a year one, if I'm being honest with you. No, I mean, I think he's had a year established now. He's had a year to kind of help really develop that culture the way he wants it to be developed. He's got his coordinator back who he didn't have last year. I'll be honest with you, Arthur, I respectfully don't think that's the case. If anything, last year was a true year one because, like you said, I mean, all those tough factors, uphill battle with a lot of stuff. And that's why I think the expectations were so much higher for this season. And that's why I think you're seeing the reactions that you're seeing, because people are trying to find, like, what is the excuse or what is the reason, right? Like, you didn't have to deal with half the stuff you dealt with last year. Why is that we saw that product that we saw Saturday? And again, I get things happen, but to be fair, I think a lot of the questioning is justified, given that, hey, man, these are the expectations for Alabama. And look, it's year number two now. A lot of those built-in, I hate saying built-in excuses, but you get what I'm saying when I say this, those built-in quote-unquote excuses from year one, they're not really there anymore. A lot of those things have been corrected or should have been. So I don't think so. Austin, what's up, man? I appreciate the tweets and stuff, bro. He said something I haven't heard mentioned too much. Christian, Ty and really the entire offense were under immense pressure from the atmosphere at Doak. How do you think they handle other road environments? Man, that's a great question. Unfortunately, last season, we saw how this team handled road environments. Even, again, before DeBoer got here, I feel like our ability to handle road environments just wasn't the same. Again, I don't know why that's the case, but it's kind of been like that since 2022 or so. But if you're talking about this year, man, I'll tell you, I don't know exactly. I'll be honest, I don't know exactly, because I was thinking that, all right, you know, this year, I said going into this game, and we based it off of last year where they didn't handle it well, so I was unsure. Obviously, week one, we saw how that went. That gave me even less confidence, but I guess it's really how they respond, man. Like, look, at the end of the day, you know what you're getting when you go on the road, and it's all about a mentality, right? You just have to choose. Like, me and Ruben talked about it. Like, defensively, like, our mentality was, we enjoyed going on the road. We had fun playing on the road. We enjoyed having fans boo, say crazy stuff. LSU's bleachers were, like, right behind us. They're saying the most outlandish stuff to us. We're laughing at it as we keep beating up on them, right? They're getting more and more mad, then to the point we're just watching them leave, waving to them as they leave the stadium. I mean, like, we took pride in being, like, the villain, so to speak, right? Offensively, it's always going to be more of a challenge, because you know they're going to face a lot of crowd noise. There's going to be a lot of disruptions. Timing's going to be a little bit off. You're going to have some false starts. But I always felt like our offense has still had, you know, the resiliency to understand, like, that's what they're in store for. But they're preparing. They know they're going to have some moments. There's going to be some adversity. That's part of it. No big deal, right? I just feel like these past couple years, what happens is we get in those high pressure situations, we start facing adversity. And instead of letting that pressure really, you know, build us and give us motivation, right? I feel like it does the opposite. And we cave in. And it's like we start digging a hole that we can't get out of. And that to me, like, I mean, that's where the leadership has to step up, like from the coaches and the players. Like, there's no reason why you're losing the game. Like, I hate to keep going back, but with coach, I mean, like, it didn't, until that clock hit zero, guys, like, everything was the same, right? Like, it didn't matter if we were losing or we were winning by 30 points. We had, everything was the same. And you guys can attest to this. We could be winning by 45 points and there could be literally a minute left in the game. And if I screwed up, Coach Saban would chew me out as if it, like, the game was on the line on the last play. It's the consistency. I don't see much consistency with this team. I didn't see it last year, right? But I haven't seen it so far this year. But with us, everything was just like, it didn't matter what the circumstances were. And I think that would help this team out, man. They need to find a way to be consistent, right? Have that same focus, right? Whether you're winning, you're losing, doesn't matter what the situation is in the game, right? Go out there and do it over and over and over and over for 60 minutes, right? It's funny how, like, you hear Coach Saban used to say all this stuff, and it used to just kind of just sound like buzzwords and, you know, great motivational videos. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are starting to look back and realize all that stuff mattered, and it added up. Like, literally, even me, I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be completely honest with you. There's times I'd hear him say all that stuff, and it's like, yeah, we know, Coach. Yeah, you know, 60 minutes in the game, dominate the box. I got you. Like, yeah, he's just saying, but not buzzwords, but you get what I'm saying. You hear it so much, like, I got it. But now I'm, like, looking at how we play now, then I'm, like, thinking about how we played back then. I'm like, damn, like, I mean, it's a method of the madness, man. Like, there's a reason he kept hammering that, even though we heard it a million times. But that's a good question, man. But hopefully they clean it up, because I'll be honest with you, man. Going on the road to face Georgia, going on the road to face South Carolina, those are going to be tough games, tough teams, tough environments. South Carolina for sure, bro. I mean, that's where I was born and raised, man. I've been to way more than a handful of games there. You know what I mean? And if we want to have any chance of getting back on track and keeping playoff hopes alive, which, again, very much are still there, we've got to play better on the road. 5-5 in the last 10 games and all of them coming on the road. Yeah, that's got to be better, man. Got to be better. All right, let's hit a timeout. We come back, go to the phone line. Slade might be joining us here in a little bit. I'll keep you guys posted on that. And we'll keep responding to you guys here in the chat on YouTube as well. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the ULM Warhawks to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
The KFC chicken sandwich for only $3.99.
The Colonel lived so we could chicken.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Stop with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. I love you. I shouldn't have said that.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. 393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Thursday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. But don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, is where you can find them. Again, great place to go watch games. Sure, our guest has probably been over there a couple of times. I know I've been there a fair share of times, but make sure you guys use that code Miller's Edge, get 20% off the website, rnrcigars.com. But again, if you're looking for a place to watch games, find the best humidor in the Southeast. They got over 160 bourbons for you on tap right there as well, man. You can't beat it. R&R Cigars. Plus, they've got a bunch of deals going on. Football season's back, man. So make sure you guys check them out. Again, that's R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. All right. We got a special guest for you guys. I've been telling you here, but now he's joined us. Appreciate you taking some time. Again, he's a dog in his own right, guy that made a lot of plays here. You guys are all familiar with this guy, man. Former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden joins us here on the Miller's Edge. Slade, what's good, bro? Yes, sir.
Smelly, what's happening, baby?
Man, can't call it. Oh, bro, I'm good, bro. I'm blessed, bro. It's good to see you, bro. I saw your post on Instagram yesterday. I was like, bro, I need to get Slade on the show. And so you were like,
I know. I've been waiting. I don't know why I hadn't texted you. I always say this, like, I like to get invited and then tell you later that I can't make it. So I just wanted to get the invitation, but I also don't want to impose. No, I'm just playing. But kind of similar to you, man, like, any chance I get to be around the game, whether it's coaching, training someone. Hell, I still run Max or run routes for Mac when he's around. You know, I still run routes. Like I try to, you know, stay around the game as much as I can, because at the end of the day, man, I love it. It's my first love, and I'm forever grateful and thankful. But so I just, like, you know what? Selfishly, I'm gonna come up with another excuse to talk about football, and especially obviously Bama football, more importantly. And so I'm gonna start. Right now, it's just kind of simple, nothing to it, really. Just going to be posting clips after every game, just giving a different perspective. You know, I feel like I knew the game very well. I had to know the game well. And I'm going to keep it light, keep it fun, but also, hey, just, like, really give the fans and who else could be watching, maybe even DeBoer. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying because – the first time I met Grubb, we almost stayed in his office for another hour drawing up plays on his whiteboard. But he was really cool. But, you know, just another excuse for me to stay around the game and talk about it. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. We'll see if it will lead to some partnerships or, you know, podcasting. And I just love football. And, you know, I don't get to be around as much nowadays. So just a good reason to do it. So thanks for asking.
Oh, 100%.
I appreciate it.
Oh, 100%, bro. Yeah, no, well, shoot, now that you want to take this route, man, we'll get you on here as much as possible. We had Ruben on last week, man. So maybe we'll build up like a all-star roster of lineups here with former guys, man. Ruben said he's going to start hopping on here, and we'll get you on here. Much as you want, bro.
And vice versa. So that's something that I obviously want to do. I want to you know, get this thing going at first to kind of figure out whether I want to do just clips or do I want to do like, you know, a streaming deal, you know, or set it up like a podcast. You know, I do have a little place I could do it, actually 30 minutes west of here. But that's really dependent on their kind of bandwidth and what they got going on. So, you know, right now it's just kind of starting off simple. I mean, I was kind of waiting to hear back from some people to figure out if they wanted to kind of partner on this. But, man, at the end of the day, it's just talking shop. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah, so any ideas, I'm open.
Yeah, we'll do it, bro. We'll start. We'll get you on and shoot. We'll get you on every week. Breakdown. You can do your breakdowns on here for a segment or so. You can hang out. Ruben came on. We just had him on like briefly. Then he ended up hanging out like the whole show, just chilling in the car. He's like AutoZone doing a bunch of stuff, but hanging out. And it was a good time. So, yeah, we'll definitely. I love getting you guys on here, man, former guys, because it's basically what I like doing, same like you do, but like wanting to break stuff down. And so I tell people, like, I do media, but I'm not a journalist. I care less about breaking news. My goal is to educate about the game of football, because I'm sure you've probably seen there's a lot of people out here. They want to know the game. They want to learn the game. But there's a lot of people that don't know it, you know, in that capacity. And sometimes I'm seeing things. I'm like, no, that's not right. No, it wasn't his fault. And I try to just to break things down, whether schematics, right, or technique. Right. And I think having all you guys, right, you know, former receiver, you know, former Mike linebacker, me being a former edge guy, being able to, us really breaking down all those different aspects of the game, I think it's really good, you know, for our listeners. So that's kind of what I like doing on here, and I think a lot of our fans and our listeners like doing that as well. But speaking of breaking things down, tell me what you thought about week one, man. And I know everybody's like, oh, we got to move on. Listen, we will, but I hadn't had a chance to ask you, and I know we've been talking about it at length from a defensive perspective. Offensively, I guess you can give defense too if you want, but what did you see week one? I think we all can agree. I mean, there's lack of effort. We did not look physical. We know that. But what did you think of the offense at least and how they performed?
Yeah, you know, like you said, you know, as when we were players, right, it's a 24-hour rule. But now that we're not and we're pretty much fans, it's until next game. The next game, I'm not even counting next game. I'm counting the one after that, you know. But, man, from – just like I said, I'm going to let y'all stick to defense. That's y'all's expertise. But from an overall team analysis, man, like just the mentality, that's what I noticed the most. That's what jumped out to me. Look, I felt like even when we were playing, we'd always, you know, start off the first game of the year, maybe the first quarter, first half, you know, pretty slow. Like we're trying to, you know, get in a groove and trying to get things rolling. But, man, we go back to halftime. We make halftime adjustments. Boom, we come back and we usually run the table. So from an offensive perspective, you know, the first drive was great, right? We go down the field. We have a long drive, right? We controlled the clock. And normally you do that towards the end of the game, but I love keeping the ball as long as possible. Keeps the defense, you guys should love it. Keeps the defense fresh. You guys are come out there, be able to get three and outs all day. And that's what I love, right? So I'm like, okay, like we got our OC that we wanted. We got the, you know, quarterback that may fit that OC schematically better. And then the rest of the game happened. And what I noticed, and I got plenty of notes that I'll, you know, be sharing later tonight on some of my clips on Slade segments, but there was no really execution. Obviously, we did not control the line of scrimmage. Yes, we had to keep left guard out, Jaden Roberts, who is an absolute dog, great guy. That obviously it never helps, but I feel like when we were playing, and look, this is the new college world of college football, we were able – if we had a starter out, we just plug and pull. You know, we had a five-star or a two-year guy who was ready to go, and our preparation was so great that we were able to jump in, or somebody would come in for that guy that was still banged up or hurt or was missing that game for some reason, and we just roll like it was normal. So that, because of the new college world, is taken away. Those guys that are our solid number twos and even threes are now in the portal or already transferred to a different school. And right. Then I think about the preparation, you know, it's kind of tough when you're preparing for a new team. Yeah, you can look at the, you know, Coach Norvell's old schemes from last year, that team went, what, 1-11 or
2-10? Yeah.
2-10. Like, DJ Uiagalelei's a total different player than Costello, who is going to be an absolute problem, by the way. So you got to get credit where credit's due. So I try not to just banter too much on the team and just like, hey, like from a preparation standpoint, that could be tough trying to figure out the types of schemes from a defense and an offense perspective. Like, you know, who knows how many guys transferred in on their defense. I mean, I feel like every time an announcer says a guy's name now, it's like, oh, yeah, he just transferred from, you know, LSU and previously was at Auburn. You know, it's crazy, right? But, you know, I don't think we executed enough. Obviously, we didn't control the line of scrimmage. We weren't physical enough. You know, having Jam out probably didn't help, but I thought our backup running backs were explosive. I really like 28's juice. I think he's going to be a good player. He accelerates well. But we didn't sustain drops. Like, we put ourselves in bad third down situations. So, for example, when you get down, it was going into the high red area, probably on the 35, 30, which is technically not high red. We had a 4th-and-7, and Ty rolled out of the pocket, was looking for a crossing route to Ryan, and this is where, like, maybe Ty's inexperience shows. Now, he's super talented, and I love the way he played. He never gave up. If anybody had some juice and, you know, good mindset, I think Ty, which I think should give some positive outlook for Ty fans. But that's something like, man, he could have just probably took it and ran and got the first down, right? And then tried to make a difficult throw. But we shouldn't be in a situation where we're going for it on 4th-and-7. When you get down like that, your offense changes. The way you call plays, the way you scheme up plays. So I just thought we just didn't execute. We shot ourselves in the foot a lot. We had some penalties. You know, there was a lot of things that I was obviously taking notes. Normally I, you know, drink about probably 6 to 8 beers during a game. I would drink 2 because I was locked in. But yeah, I think overall, man, like the mentality and just, you know, who wants it more, right? You know, like we can scheme up the best offensive game plan. We can go into it with the best, best like schematical mindset. But if your guys aren't willing to put in the effort and to make those great schemes come to life, then it's, you really have nothing. So that's my long spiel breakdown. And I got so much more.
Absolutely.
I'm going to save it.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, Slade Segments, he's calling it. And they can find that on your Instagram right now. Are you starting YouTube? Somebody in our chat asked if you have a YouTube channel or...
Well, that's the thing. You know,
still to come.
Dude, I am new to this. It's all good out. I am not. I'm out.
Hey, you got to start somewhere. Listen. So check out. Go to Slade's Instagram initially. Yeah, go to his Instagram. He's going to be doing some good breakdowns.
And I'll be posting on my TikTok as well, which is the same. You know, it's at S18DE. So thank you.
No, 100%. 100%. Tell me this, Slade. So moving forward, man, I know, and you said it earlier, you know, this weekend's not going to do much. It's not going to push the needle. And I agree. We've got better players than them. I mean, this should be a no-brainer. The only thing I'm really looking for is how do they respond, right? It's easy to look good picking on somebody smaller. And it's not our fault. They're on our schedule. But you get what I'm saying. So I agree with you there. But in terms of down the road with and throughout the season, what do you think from an offensive perspective this team needs to do to find that success? You talked about that first drive, being physical, getting some movement, you know, holding the football. I agree with you. I thought that was old Alabama football. Downhill, physical running, setting up play action, had a nice little RPO in the, you know, goal line area to score. But what do you think this team really needs to do to have success long-term? Because, you know, week one was ugly. We know that. But everything's still in front of us. What does Alabama need to do from your perspective to get back on track and, you know, reach our goals?
I mean, first off, right, you got to take 1 week at a time, right? That's how we always played. You know, you got to worry about who's next. So, like, looking at ULM, like you said, not the most talented team comparatively to us. But I'm looking for next game. One, let's get that mentality back. Let's get that mindset. There are a few guys that played under Saban. I'm not saying this has to be a Saban team. It's totally different world, totally different coaching staff. You got to find the recipe for success, and whatever that looks like, you got to get everybody bought into it. Yeah. But from an execution standpoint, I think, because that's one thing that when we would play teams that were not in our conference or not in the SEC and, you know, was a lower power five school or power four, I always get those confused. Anyway.
It changes all the time.
You know, that Saban would always just reiterate on, like, just execution. And that's, you know, no missed assignments, you know, running the right routes, you know, having your, you know, like a guard, you know, reaching to the backer the correct way, just all the little things. I think if we can go into this next week, if we can just really hone in on not just the little things, but just the fundamentals and the basics of, you know, having good, sustainable long drives and executing and having explosive plays. I think that's what's most important for this next game, is being able to show that. Because, look, yeah, like you said, we should be able to handle these guys. But from an execution standpoint, if we don't execute, you know, they've got athletes. And that's normally the main difference is the interior. That's usually from those two types of schools. Yeah. But, you know, if we don't execute, then we could get exposed, not as near as we get exposed like a team with Florida State or, you know, any other SEC school. But moving forward throughout the season, somebody has to step up, and maybe a few, whether, you know, it's Ty, whether it's Ryan, you know, even though he's so young, age does not make you a leader. And, you know, whether it's the O-line, you got to be, I mean, in 2020, our O-line not only won the, the Outland?
Joe Moore.
Joe Moore, yes. I'm trying to think. But not just because of how talented they were, but how just bonded they were. Like, that is a synchronizing unit. Like, everybody has to be on the same page. And I think that's a huge, huge need. And, you know, just somebody steps up. We always took the mindset of our head coach. Now, look, we all, each room, y'all's outside linebacker room, you know, inside linebacker, defensive line group, receiver group, we all had our own mind, our own standard above the Bama standard. So I think that, you know, having guys step up, you know, maybe this game will light a fire in their ass, and, you know, moving forward, they'll realize how bad it feels to lose, because I hate losing more than I like winning.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that quote, man, it's true. Cause I mean, you can probably attest to it. Like, you remember the championships I lost. I think about those more than ones that I won. And we lost in Tampa, and we lost my senior year in 18 down in California. Those definitely stick. So we got like 30 seconds left. Where we got to get out of here. Number one, thank you for joining.
Anytime.
Two, plug it one last time before we run. So Slade Segments, you're starting that today. You're going to post this evening on your Instagram and your TikTok, which is, say the handle one more time.
At S18DE. So I always thought it looked like Slade, but who knows?
No, it makes sense. So Slade, but replace the L and the A with the 18 as number in college. Slade, I appreciate you, bro. Seriously, let's get you back on next week if you want, man. And then you can keep plugging your segments and get everybody from over here, over there. That way they can get their receiver and offensive breakdowns.
100%. This is a great time. Appreciate you, C-Mill.
Always, brother. I appreciate you, bro. That was Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver. Appreciate him joining the show again. Slade Segments, you can catch him tonight. He will be debuting that on his Instagram and TikTok channels. We got to get out of here, make room for T-Town Sports Daily coming up next right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll see you guys next time.